2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, it is 10:33 on this Thursday morning. And look, we all know that the summer here doesn't always mean great things when it comes to weather. But one thing that we can guarantee is that rain, hail or shine, a lot of us will be attempting to break out the barbecue. And I am pretty sure none of us in this part of this world could claim to be experts in that field. So we are joined by our pal, Chef Adrian, because Hello. We can't call you an expert in this field. I see, is it because it was raining today that you didn't come with a sausage or a burger or anything?
Yeah.
Me and Andrew tried our best yesterday. We spent the whole, we were like, we'd love a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
So you're actually hinting at me bringing stuff in.
Maybe. I love how you were. We actually have to spend an effort here. We were hinting massively at stuff. And you were
My head is so like all over the place at the moment because we're getting married in 4 weeks.
Yeah,
so.
No, you're more concerned about your wedding, which I totally understand, yeah. than whether or not we're getting a sausage at 10:30 in the morning from a barbecue. Look it, when it comes to barbecues, I was telling producer Kate the other day that my friend he's the first one out of all of us to get a barbecue, which we think is mad adulting. We're like, okay, you've taken that step. So we all came over and we stood outside and we watched him barbecue, and he charred everything to within an inch of his life because he was too afraid to undercook anything and cause any food poisoning.
Yeah.
That's not what we want for today, but let's talk about tips for planning a successful barbecue in Ireland. Because look, yesterday, sun split in the rocks.
Oh, it was amazing yesterday.
Cats and dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, but it'll change again. Like in another day or two, you'll have the same weather again.
Yeah.
So do be prepared. I start with getting an umbrella. So you have to be prepared. Have it there to the side. Because I started barbecuing a couple of weeks ago, and then next thing the rain just came down. So the umbrella is key. But there is a good few things you can do. So there's a couple of things. Is the cleaning of the grill. I think this is a huge thing because most people have it sat in the garage since last year and they don't clean it. And grease can harbour an awful lot of bacteria. So we need to make sure that the thing is scrubbed with hot soapy water. Then for your meat, so your friend is afraid of charring meat
Far. Undercooking
or like undercooking or overcooking is kind of the major thing with barbecuing. So a key is always remember that 75 degrees Celsius is key cooked for the majority of all.
Yeah, 75.
I love the ads.
So
the ads
are
brilliant. The meat thermometer is key for this. And this is a kit thing that we were given in our chef's kit as we began training in culinary college. Is meat thermometer, digital or dial, is so important for all meats. So that is chicken, for instance, 75. Even at Christmas, I always refer back to the turkey, 75 degrees as well.
Well, this actually brings us in perfectly to what type of hardware we would need. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of us are going to be going on budget. We're kind of thinking, what's the cheapest one that we can get? But let's start with the actual barbecue and start the war. We'll go all out. What do you prefer, charcoal or gas?
So I love charcoal just because if I'm going for fancy and it's a special occasion and I've got, you know, I'm trying to impress guests. Like Kai is now one in 2 weeks' time and we're doing a big barbecue for his first birthday. So we're doing a charcoal. I have a green egg. So I'll do everything on that, pork belly, you name it, I'll do everything there. And but again, if it's something that you want quick and effective, because my dad loves gas because he works for a gas company. So
well, obviously.
Yeah, so he'll always say, make sure you mention your gas barbecue as well. But I do like it for quick and efficiency and it's easy. And if you want to control temperatures, particularly for people that are new to barbecuing, gas is brilliant. And then I always go back to the beach. You go to a little beach in, and we used to go to Rosnail and Donegal, and we would whip out the little
tinfoil barbecue,
the disposable barbecue. But you can get amazing flavour off those things because it's great.
They're sitting on top of the charcoal.
Now if you're on a budget, you can buy really really cheap a grill, which allows you to put charcoal in it, and it has a grill on it as well. And it's worth instead in buying one of those cheap and investing then in the charcoal itself.
Okay.
So really good lump wood charcoal and a high grade, good quality with low smoke rate. And then wood chips for that little bit of smoke at the end. So what we tend to do is we soak the wood chips. We can get flavored wood chips like apple wood and hickory. Oh. And there's, I mean,
it's a whole new world.
Yeah, this is a whole new world, basically. So instead of selecting an expensive grill, have a look at the coal and the wood chips that you use.
Those okay, so instead of going for the big mob barbecue, yep, that's going to cost you an absolute fortune, actually focus on your...
Yeah, and it's about flavor rather than looking fancy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but you can look fancy if you'd like to. That's your whim.
It's your goal.
What about the basic tools? Okay, because you mentioned the thermometer, and that's what got me into, let's rewind it back and start at the barbecue. Well, what kind of basic tools do we need to have? Like, what can we get by with?
So to save the hairs on your arms, I always say that, because like if you look at any chef, their arms that don't have any hairs on them. So basically, you need those longer tongs and prongs, and you know, those things are worth investing in. I think just particularly for that one reason. I think there's great like brushes you can get for scrubbing. Yeah. Just make sure that the wires on them don't. That's one thing you can't cheap out on, because those little wires, you don't want them ending up in your food. So something that's good and expensive there for that,
so
is
they
the
don't
only thing
that's
safe spent. Yeah, so they don't pop off as well. And yeah, your meat thermometer, I'll always go back to it, is probably the most important key thing for cooking in this as well.
All right, got all the boring stuff out of the way. Let's talk about the best bits, the stuff that we all care about. What types of food are pretty much foolproof to cook, Adrian? And how do we go about it?
So, I mean, you said sausage, but actually most people, that's the one thing most people mess up, is the sausage. They undercook them, which
tasty.
They're so good off a barbecue, I'll start with a burger, okay? But instead of buying a pre-made, because most of the time they come with these marinades and glazes on them and everything already, and they tend to burn very quick. So buy a high-grade mince.
Okay.
So a good quality mince with high fat content is key for this.
High fat?
Yeah, so the higher the fat content, the more juicy, the more flavorful the meat is for this. And then the meat will, like, you won't have to put oil on anything, but the oils will come out of the meat itself and it'll give lovely little bits of,
I imagine,
of char to your burger.
That could be absolutely talking out my rear now, but is the mince, when you're trying to buy it with the higher fat content, is a little bit cheaper?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, I am right.
Yeah. And then it's called a smash burger, so very simply you smash it, and then very simple, this is for most smash burger places, is you want it as crispy as possible.
Okay.
So really good high quality sea salt, Achillea sea salt. I always mention it because it's incredible and it's Irish. And then a really high grade cracked black pepper. So good quality.
So we're just mixing those all in together.
Yeah, on like you're cooking a steak. Okay. So it's on the outside and you're getting a lovely, lovely crispy burger patty on the barbecue, and that is the key to it.
So just sorry to bring it back, are we like smashing our meat together and then kind of
smash it onto the grill, and then you season this side here of that's not smashed on, and then you flip it and then season the other side again, and that's your burger. Like you're treating it like a steak almost.
Amazing.
I go for fish, so I'll always go for meatier types of fish. Yeah,
but shrimp on the barbie
like prawns are amazing on skewers. And I'll go for ones that don't flake. So monkfish is very forgiving because it's really, really meaty. Scallops too. Scallops don't fall apart. Things like if you tried to put some cod on the grill, I can guarantee that's a mess.
Scallops always just remind me of Hell's Kitchen, because it was the one thing that Gordon Ramsay used to trial like all the chefs on, you know, and if they got the scallop cooked wrong, it was like, kick off. So,
Where's the lamb sauce? Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going smash burgers, scallops, prawns, monkfish are kind of your fishy options. Give me one more.
I would go, chicken. So I think I love, you know, the legs.
Yeah.
So like a drumstick and a thigh. And
cheaper cuts as well.
Cheaper cuts again. You can buy boneless if you don't like boneless. Yeah. So they're already pre-boned, skin off and everything as well. But they are lenders to huge amount of flavor.
Okay.
And I mean, chicken, you can do a million ways. You can do barbecue chicken, you can do jerk chicken, you could do peri-peri chicken, you could do, I could go on for days basically. So again, it's all about like what you start with.
And this might sound like a stupid question, but can I lash all these on the grill at the same time? You know, are they all going onto the barbecue and we're just trying to do the timings?
Yeah, basically. Okay, yeah. So you start with ones that take the longest to cook. So chicken on the bone would take about 40, 45 minutes.
Okay.
So you want to get that on first.
Okay.
And key is to keeping one side of the barbecue low. So that's your low side and your ceiling side. So it's like as almost if you're sealing really hot on a pan, firstly, and then you move it over to the low side. For chicken, I close the lid, actually.
Okay.
And allow it to cook away on the low side. And then when it's getting closer to being finished, I start then burgers and things like that afterwards.
Because they don't take as long.
They don't take as long, yeah.
But then you've got everything finished at the same time. Yeah. This is where I fall down in life in general. barbecues, look, we've talked a lot about meat there, but there has to be some nice vegetarian options you can give us.
Yeah, so I mean, I go to things like Maria's pescatarian, so she just eats fish and veg all day long.
This is why you're like monkfish scallop prawns.
Yeah, that's why it's all fish. Like I just eat fish all day long myself as well. Because of it. So we do courgettes. But if you slice the courgette down long ways, this sounds unusual, and then you crisscross. Okay, so you crisscross, like score it with a knife. So it's like a kind of like an X and O's on the white part of the courgette. And you grill that with salt and pepper, and then you make a dressing for it. Okay, so I make this dressing. It's Dijon mustard, some lemon juice, and olive oil into a little jar. Shake it.
Okay.
And then when you grill the courgette, take it off and dress it with that dressing. It is so delicious.
And also you're getting your veg in.
Yeah, you're getting your veg in there. Pineapple is so delicious on the barbecue. It caramelizes so nicely, and it's so good with meats.
Like in a month of Sundays would I have ever thought of putting pineapple onto a
so
barbecue.
So if you dip pineapple in a little bit of brown sugar... Okay. It goes lovely and caramelized on the barbecue, and it's the nicest thing in the world. It's so good.
Okay, courgette, pineapples, anything else?
I've got halloumi. So I always grill halloumi cheese for, and then I brush it with honey and rosemary. It's really good.
Honey and rosemary on halloumi.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is a cheese lover's dream.
Yeah.
Look, you've mentioned a couple of times about marinades, but, you know, what can you tell me about, like, marinades? Like, what are the foolproof ways? Because I think I burn everything if I've got too many sauce things.
I think why people burn a lot on the barbecue is down to putting the sauce on too soon.
Okay.
So if you make a marinade that's, say, made out of barbecue sauce or ketchup based or whatever, a lot of those tend to have natural sugars in them, and they caramelize and they burn very quick.
Okay.
So the key is to starting with a dry rub. So if I'm doing chicken, I'll start with a dry rub for it. So I'll do like pepper, some oregano, say lemon zest, garlic.
Yeah.
And I make that in pestle and mortar, and I dry rub the chicken firstly, and then I grill it then. And then if I want to finish that with a sauce, I make up a barbecue sauce with apple juice, ketchup, what else have I been barbecue sauce? Smoked paprika, and orange zest. And then what I do is I simmer that, and then I dip my chicken into that when it's finished cooking.
Okay.
And then you get this lovely glaze. And the glaze then is this kind of caramelization. If you leave it on too long, it burns. So key is like that dry rub is first.
Yeah.
Marinades that are simple are ones that are not sugar based. So like, for instance, buttermilk is a lovely one for chicken because it gives lovely tenderization.
Okay.
And yogurt based. Yogurt's great as well because it's, again, acidity, so it tends to give lovely tenderization as well.
Yeah. Are we missing a trick by only doing this during the summer months?
Yeah, we should do it all year round. Honestly, like the flavour, like we use a barbecue in the restaurant all the time. Yeah, all the time. Yeah, we've a small little green egg and we char grill everything, all the meats. Like, there's nothing like it.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question because this is the second time that you've mentioned this, but green egg, is that a type of barbecue?
Yeah, it's a type of barbecue. It's just a little egg thing, but there's several other brands out there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Common mistakes, though, that people can avoid if we're wrapping this up in a bow. What is, you know, what are we looking at?
So don't leave food out in the sun. Okay. So like salads and things like that, that's when people get really sick.
Okay.
I started taking this really seriously recently because my sister, we were doing a barbecue, my sister announced she was pregnant, so we were like, somebody in the room is actually vulnerable, so that's when you have to start thinking seriously about it. Cooking frozen meat, so make sure you don't cook direct from frozen. If you have, say, frozen burgers, things like that, make sure they're defrosted properly in the fridge overnight before grilling.
So don't chance it if you're pulling them straight out of the freezer.
And big no-no is cross-contamination. So people tend to mix raw and cooked same utensils. They use the same. So make sure to separate utensils, separate chopping boards, everything like that. And then again, I go back to the undercooked meat thing with the thermometer as well. I always go back to that. I do have to give a shout out to it because I use it for Christmas all the time, and it's a Safe Foods website. It's really handy for information and everything like that, and that's actually where I kind of go to my information if I'm looking for for anything in regards that too.
So if you're just second guessing yourself, just take a little look on Safe Foods.
75.
Do properly. 75. Finally, I know you've given us pineapple and courgette on a barbecue and, you know, shrimp and whatnot.
are there
any other food that people would be surprised that you can lash on a barbecue and it turns out delicious?
I think this is unusual. Watermelon.
Watermelon sugar.
Yeah, but it caramelizes and we call it like a watermelon.
Watermelon on the barbecue.
It's so weird and it's so delicious.
But how are we going about this? Are we just putting a slice of it up?
So you get a little big round of that watermelon, you cut it into a wedge, basically leave the skin on it and just let it cook either side. And
so you don't have to put anything on it?
It's stunning. Yeah, it is.
It's kind of, I suppose, the food equivalent of like the water and wine.
Yeah.
I guess watermelon is just water.
It basically is. We did this before and I just thought it was the nicest thing in the world. Avocado. So we half an avocado and char it. This is how you get lovely flavor. And this is like, we smoked the avocado then and we made a guacamole from it. And it was like a smoked, charred guacamole. Like, so the avocado has to be slightly harder than a softened, properly ripened one.
That actually sounds perfect because half the ones I end up buying can't eat anyway.
Yeah, normally that is the case. But that is genuinely the nicest guacamole I've ever had. Like smoky in flavor.
Adrian, sorry, go again. Yeah. Have you got another one?
One more is the oysters. Yeah, oysters on the grill. Yeah.
That I think might be one step too far from it. I might be able to try everything else, but I think the oysters are still going to taste like snot. So I might love that. Unless you cook them for me, we'll see. Here we go then. Chef Adrian, as always, thank you so much for coming in with us.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.